Mathuradham ki jai, Navadvip Mayapuradham ki jai, Ganga Mai Yamuna Mai ki jai, Bhakti Devi Tulasi Devi ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C., Guru, and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for coming one more time together. I know that many of the devotees have left already yesterday evening, but it is nice to see still so many of you. Can I maybe request some of or one of you as is either a computer or any other device on which I could read the text of the Bhagavatam? You have something to remember? Fine, it's this 3717. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yas cha mudatamo loke, yas cha budhe arangatara, yas cha mudamato loke, yas cha budhe parangata. Yascha mudatamo loke, yascha buddhi parangata, bhavubho sukhamedete, klishyatyantarito jana.
Good job.
Yaha,
one who is
also
Mudatamaha,
the lowest of the fools,
Loke,
in the world,
Yaha,
Cha, and one who is
Buddhi,
of intelligence,
Param,
transcendental,
Gata,
Gone,
To,
of them,
Bubho,
both,
Sukham,
happiness,
Edete,
enjoy.
Krishyati
Safa
Antaritaha,
situated between
Janaha,
persons. Let us just arrange for the translation. Maybe you just chant Hare Krishna, then the little Boris can give you a sign. You're just trying to fix the translation thing.
Yes.
Good. You're ready? Good. Let me just, before reading to you the translation, say why I have chosen this verse at the last day. It tells us about two attitudes to this world. One is and it gives us a good passing message so that when we go into the world we can choose the right attitude. Both the lowest of fools and he who is transcendental to all intelligence enjoy happiness, whereas persons between them suffer the material things. In other words, only those who are really very foolish can be happy in this world. You need to forget everything and become totally unintelligent. Or those who are of supreme intelligence, that means transcendental to all material things, they enjoy happiness. But those who are in between, who are neither totally foolish nor transcendental, they suffer material pains. They have to suffer. So you have to choose if you want to become very foolish, which is not an alternative or not an option, or if you want to see things in a transcendental way. Everything will become very clear as we listen to the purport. The lowest of fools do not understand material miseries. They pass their lives merrily and they do not inquire into the miseries of life. Such persons are almost on the level of the animals who, although in the eyes of superiors, are always miserable in life, are unaware of material distress. A hawk's life is degraded in its standard of happiness, which entails living in a filthy place, engaging in sex enjoyment at every opportune moment, and laboring hard in a struggle for existence. But this is all unknown to the hawk. Similarly, human beings who are unaware of the miseries of material existence and are happy in sex life and hard labor are the lowest of fools. Yet because they have no sense of miseries, they supposedly enjoy so-called happiness. The other class of men, so this talks, I think about, you understand about these really materialistic people who are living in very tamasic circumstances. You have them a lot in the in all parts of the world, really. But you are from Serbia, and on the countryside you find them. They are really living in filthy accommodations. They drink self-made slivovich, and just next to them are the meat, the pigs, you know. And we saw them a lot in Borča, these people. And if you ask them, how are you, they will say, very good. The other class of men, those who are liberated and are situated in the transcendental position above intelligence, are really happy and are called Paramahamsas. But persons who are neither like hawks and dogs nor on the level of the Paramahamsas feel the material pangs, and for them inquiry about the Supreme Truth is necessary. The Vedanta Sutra states, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now one should inquire about Brahman. This inquiry is necessary for those who are between the Paramahamsas and the fools, who have forgotten the question of self-realization in the midst of life and sense gratification. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pestaya Bhutale Shemate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurani Prajale Vishnavari Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. As we were reminded yesterday, when we come away from such an enlivening event as a gathering of devotees where hearing and chanting about Krishna was the sole focus during an entire week, we come back from such a gathering into our normal life circumstances, we have to be a little careful so that we don't lose what we have gotten by going back to habits which are not conducive for our spiritual development. Srila Prabhupada speaks about this, the best modus or the best way to live. He says it should be a life of inquiry. We should have questions, we should research the transcendental subject matter. So, there are two people who may not need to do this, or need, these are the Paramahansas, who are on a transcendental platform, they are self-realized, And those then are those unfortunate people. I mean, they need to do it very much, but they have, Prabhupada says, they have forgotten the question of self-realization. They don't know that there's such a thing. This inquiry, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, is necessary, Prabhupada says, for those who are between the Paramahamsas and the fools who have forgotten the question of self-realization in the midst of life in sense gratification. In other words, this is necessary for us. This message of the Bhagavatam is found in other places of the Bhagavatam also. For instance, in the 11th canto, 9th chapter, text 4, in this world, the Lord says, there are two types of people that are free from all anxieties and merged in great happiness. One of these two types of people is the one who's retarded and a childish fool. This person is so-called happy. It's an illusory happiness. It's a perverted reflection. Retarded, do you understand this word?
More than understand. You have same in Croatia.
Retarded, we have same word. It's really something. Their development has been stunted. They are really very unfortunate, actually. A retarded and childish fool. He is so-called happy. He doesn't. And the other is who is free from all anxieties and merged in great happiness, is the one who has approached the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the three modes of material nature. The Narada Pancharatra also has such an instruction. It says, two classes of people attain happiness. Those who are dull and stupid, and those who are situated on the topmost platform of love of God. Thus, the middle class person, that means he's not a fool, total fool, he's not yet situated on the transcendental level, they suffer. And the Narada Pancharatra says, to overcome this suffering, they have to perform tapasya. Tapasya. Some austerity which is meant to reach the higher goal of life. I like this very much, this perspective of the Narada Pancharatra on this subject. If we are finding ourselves in the in-between situation, in between the materialistic foolishness and in between the Krishna conscious realizations, then it's very necessary to know what we have to do in this situation in order to become self-realized or Krishna conscious. The word tapasya or austerity is used in the Narada Pancharatra. Why spiritual life can sometimes be in austerity is explained by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord expresses that the happiness which is materialist, which is not good for us, sweets tastes very nice in the beginning, but then has a poisonous effect. Yesterday I was so hungry that I did a big mistake in the evening. When I returned, it was already very late after the program, and I was just so hungry, and there were two pizzas. Now, pizzas is good for young people, like Ananta Goranga can eat 10 pizzas and the next morning rise like an angel from bed, no problem. But when you are over 60, you should not eat after sunset big meals. You can have a little soup if you need to have something in the stomach so that you can rest. But Ayurveda is very clear, not these heavy things with cheese and grains and so on. So anyways, I was a little, I thought anyways it's over, and Hare Krishna, what to do, I'm really hungry here, I'm dying from hunger. So it tasted very wonderful in the evening. But the next morning, I knew that you have made a mistake. Now you're very tired, and you really have to kick yourself out of bed, otherwise you can't rise, and so on. So material life is like, material happiness is like this. It looks really attractive in the beginning, but the result is always suffering and misery. So whereas the mistake with the pizza, you know, it's not such a big problem. It's supposed to, I know I will just eat only a few fruits. You can catch it yourself, and the organism can deal with it. But there are other things which are very problematic in material life, which have a permanent reaction, a little slip, and you are suffering for long time from this. So you have to be very aware of this. And therefore perform tapasya. That is, although some things appear to be very attractive and very, let me say, very, very, you want them, your senses want them. You have to perform the austerity of saying, no, thank you, this is not good on the long run. This discipline is necessary. We have to learn this. And Narada Muni instructs us how we can learn it. He says, whenever there is something which looks attractive, and you know already from past experience, this is not good for my Krishna consciousness, then you always just don't see the beginning of the pleasure, which is that your senses are responding very, exciting. Look at the end result. And that is the suffering which comes. And then you can say, no thank you. At least, if you try this little meditation to look at the end result of material happiness, that then if you practice with this, after some time your transcendental buddhi will awaken and you will be able to say, Kuala Lepan, thank you very much, I don't need. You have to practice it a little bit, again and again and again. And then after some time, you will be successful. I have one, there's a very nice Swami who left his body. He's maybe not so known in these parts of the world. His good name is Mahavishnu Maharaj. We have one Mahavishnu Maharaj from England, but there is another Mahavishnu Maharaj. I have a picture of him which is, I think, is big enough and clear enough. He very sympathetic elderly Maharaj who is a real expert on the Bhagavatam. He has built a wonderful temple near Dwaraka and preached a lot in England. And, okay, so he said, when it is very difficult for you to resist falling in Maya, just think of yourself on your deathbed. which is, think into the future, and then you will think, no, I want to do the good things, I don't want to do the foolish mistakes which will pull me down in material existence. That is there, this meditation he gave, and it is coming from Chanakya Pandit, that a wise man should always see his own inevitable death before his eyes, which is coming to everyone sooner or later, and he should in this way perform tapasya, say no to the apparent or enticing illusory pleasures of this world. Yes, this is called the negative path, the via negativa. It is a very important path about which Krishna speaks. But there is also a positive path which can help you to remain spiritually aware in your life after the summer camp, so to say. And that path is introduced to us by Srila Prabhupada. I want to read a letter which Prabhupada wrote about this, which I became aware of in a lecture of His Holiness Kadambakanana Maharaj. You might remember this when I give you the quote. This is adding Krishna to your life. That is the positive part. Srila Prabhupada had one little disciple. Little means young disciple, I wanted to say. He was this boy was the son of Rupanuga Prabhu, a god brother, who went to school. He must have been in the age of Bhima, the boy who had a celebrated birthday yesterday, and who addressed us in the evening. And this boy, his name was Akenta, or is Akenta, wrote to Srila Prabhupada that he makes good advancement in mathematics. Mathematics, he was very capable to learn mathematics. And Prabhupada wrote him a letter back, which is very, very beautiful. Can I read it to you?
Yes.
It's about adding Krishna to your life. I am so pleased, Prabhupada wrote, to learn that you are studying arithmetic so quickly. It's arithmetic. What is arithmetic? It's some type of mathematics, isn't it?
Counting, dividing,
like this. So, sorry? Adding, subtracting, that's arithmetic. So, in Europe we know it as mathematics, but maybe it's also arithmetic. So, I'm so pleased, Prabhupada wrote to this little boy who went to school, to learn that you are studying arithmetic so quickly. And then see Prabhupada's genius. 5 + 5 is equal to 10, yes. 2 + 2 is equal to 4. So, Krishna plus everything is Vrindavan. Krishna plus everything is Vrindavan. Do not forget Krishna, and you shall always be in Vrindavan. Genius. We can remember this. To add Krishna to our life. Prabhupada gave an example how this works. Now, I heard it in the old times. He said this life in the material world is full of darkness. And he compared it with a glass which is filled with ink. And then he said Krishna consciousness is full of light. And he compared Krishna consciousness with milk. So he said, when you pour steadily the milk in this glass of ink, then one day all the ink is out and it is full of glass, of milk. So in the same way, if you continue to add Krishna steadily into your life, as much as possible, I mean, as much as possible, much Krishna, I would say. Add Krishna in your life every day and you will see how the darkness of material life will go. You will see this. This is the via positiva, it is said. You need both ways. You need to say no to Maya, which is sometimes a little tapasya, because you have to do what is bitter in the beginning, that is to say no to pizza. I pizza means a lot of things in my language now. You have to say no to this and instead put Krishna there. This is very important. Don't leave an empty space by just trying to renounce the things which connect you with the material world. If you only do this, yeah, after some time it will become very difficult for you, because by nature we are pleasure seekers. So say no and fill this empty space, this vacuum, with Krishna, and then Krishna consciousness will work very easy. It's a very fool safe. I don't know if this is a good English word. Fool safe means even a person who's not so bright can practice this and it will work. It's a very simple, but very, very effective formula. Before I end, this will be a short class, and I will give opportunities to ask questions. I want to tell you a little bit about my own service. One aspect of my service is to invite or to give retreats. Together with Bhujan Prabhu, we are building now a retreat center in Vrindavan, just very, very close to Giriraj. You can see Giriraj from there, which we want to offer to our devotees so that they can read Prabhupada's books and chant there in a lot of peace in the auspicious presence of Giriraj, who is the greatest of the Lord's devotees and who can give blessings to the spiritual life. So in the retreats, we invite devotees, not just all over the world, to come for a few days to make a higher taste of Krishna consciousness, and then they can go back in their lives, and then they can be more energetic, more convinced, more happy in Krishna consciousness. This is the idea. That's one part of the many, many other services which I try to offer to Srila Prabhupada. And please now think yourself into my role. Think you offer a retreat. In a short time, you somehow, with Prabhupada's and Krishna's mercy, wish to give devotees a higher taste. So how do you do this? You want it to be so sustainable, this taste, so means that it's such so substantial
that it can help the devotees for a long, long time in their spiritual life. How to do that? How do you educate a person in Krishna consciousness? This is the question. And I think, I always tell the devotees to do two things. First is, they should minimalize their material, they should not read anything outside spiritual books. They should minimize their contact with the world through the internet and the computer. They should minimize, best is to stop, only GBC members who come are allowed. Well, who am I to allow anything? But they have sometimes urgent service. But otherwise, I really request everyone to stop internet usage unless it's absolutely necessary for their service. And just create, so to say, a vacuum in that time, and then they should not, they should go early to bed, rise early. They should really enter fully the spiritual life and create a vacuum to material life. And then we tell them, you have to now fill this space with spiritual activities, and then you will have transformation. And the spiritual activities are three, and I would like you to pay close attention, because these three activities, when you do them in your life after the summer camp, they will serve you very, very much in your spiritual advancement. The first is Shravana. This comes from the Upanishads, where it's described how to learn anything new. You must first do Shravana, hear a lot. Or hear, read every day in Srila Prabhupada's books. Hear spiritually enlivening lectures, Shravana. Then the next is, if you want to learn this, you must do mananaha it's called in Sanskrit. That is reflecting, thinking about it, or in pedagogical terms, engaging with it. One way to, a very good way to engage is when you read with devotees in Prabhupada's books, and then for one reads one verse and then explains in his own words what they have read, and reflect. This is about it. Hear others. That's what we do in the little ashram where I live. When we read, we read, and then the devotees who are there reflect about it. We discuss it, as Prabhupada said, discuss it from all angles of vision. This reflection is very necessary, because if you only hear a text or and you don't reflect it, it will not stick. It will not stick, really. That's why at the end of the class we like to often engage in question and answers, because it helps us to reflect about the text. It's question and answer is one way of reflecting. So reflect, think about it. It's very important. Hearing without reflection or thinking about it and discussing it and so on will not stay as long. You can ask Govinda Nandan, who is also educating. There are, I think, researches done on this. And you forget. For instance, also, even when you take notes, my dear devotees, the notes will only be useful for you if you read them. Don't think, I'm taking notes, now I have it here. No, you need to reflect about them by reading. And there's research done, when you take notes, try to read them before 42 hours have passed. I don't know if this is... Well, there's some research, I'm just... whether this is correct, 42 hours or not, I don't know, but you need to read them quick, not just after half a year or so, but after some time. Then only the note-taking will be useful. Otherwise, it's the same as Shravana, hearing only a little bit more engaging you. But you must do mananaha, reflecting. Then the third thing, it's from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, is you must practice what you have heard. That's why in the retreats we always do three things really. There is a lecture, Burijam Prabhu, Giriraj Maharaj, and all the Maharajas who come give lectures. We hear it, Shravana. Then, Mananaha, you reflect it, discussing with the devotees. We always tell the devotees, now please discuss what you have heard with your neighbor or some other things. Write a little article, free writing. Burijam Prabhu always encourages us. Or most of Maharajas like to say, any questions, let's discuss this now. You know, so reflecting is necessary. And then, as soon as possible, application. Then you can learn. May I repeat? You need to create, if you want to learn something new, a free space and you That is why we, Narada Pancharatra says, Santapasya. No, when the old habits come which are not good for you. No, I don't do this. No. I have no time now. But then, in the vacuum, you put Krishna consciousness, Shravana, Manaha means, Mananaha, I'm sorry, reflecting in some ways about it, thinking. What I do when I read the Bhagavatam, I always read the text, and then I just, when I read alone, I just stop for a moment, and the text is here, and I sit and think, okay, what did Prabhupada say? Let me just go over the points again. And then comes the next point, application. Your job is done. Why is your job done? Remember Prabhupada's statement, add Krishna to your life. When you add Krishna to your life, then you will be purified. Even though your life may be, yes, still in between the, you know, the in-between state, let us say, not yet spiritually so very realized. You add Krishna, and Krishna will do the job. Even, I want to convince you, if you have a dark room, which was dark, maybe like a cave, for 100,000 years, and you bring only one little light, firelight, the light can immediately dispel even 100,000 years old darkness. No problem. Because light is stronger than darkness. In the same way, Lord Krishna is like the sun. And Maya is like the darkness. When Krishna comes in our life, in some ways, he always works his wonder. And those of you who are very doubtful that this works, please listen to the amazing story of Agasura. And this is just in 5 sentences, I will say. Agasura was a demon. He was hateful towards Krishna. But somehow, Krishna entered his mouth by force. Krishna entered there. Agasura wanted to swallow the Lord. But he couldn't do. The Lord is the Lord. The Lord expanded himself like light. He choked the demon, and when the Lord went out of him, the Agasura demon, Agasura was waiting out there at the soul. for the Lord to come. And he immediately saw his opportunity. He was entering the transcendental body of the Lord. So because the Lord went into him, somehow you need to bring the Lord into you, ingest him. This is in the purport of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Even if someone meditates by force, like Agasura, by force Krishna came in. Good result is that. So my simple message to you is, please remember to try to say no as much as possible to Maya. It depends on your strength, spiritual strength. I mean, there are four rules and regulations. You should, no matter what, say no. But, you know, we speak of the little Maya, eating pizzas in the night. Say no as much as possible, but fill the space by adding Krishna. Add Krishna by hearing about him, by thinking about him, and by applying his ways via negativa, you know, saying no to, and that then very important, if you say only no, you have no chance. To put Krishna, add Krishna in everything. If you want to find this beautiful letter of Srila Prabhupada to Ekendra, it's really nice. You will find it in the folio, letter to Ekendra, LA, 24th of January, 1970, and you can just type in, so Krishna plus everything is Vrindavan. I think Prabhupada said this only one time. Or the word arithmetic is also. Then you have it, and it could be your motto. Yes. Okay. Oh yeah. It's on this calendar. Thank you. 5 plus 5 is equal to 10. 2 plus 2 is equal to... So Krishna plus everything is... Very good. Do not forget Krishna, and you shall always be in Vrindavan. He had a way to make Krishna, to express it very succinctly and to make it very comprehensible. It's an ideal teacher. Ideal teacher. Yes, our Bhakti Granta Prabhuji, please.
I do not talk to Maharaj as we are
lectures during the day. Then in the evening there was also something. I mean, I need to take some rest, extra rest now. I know this, but I'm really on the limit. Because, yes, and then rising early, late to bed. Just this exhaustion. Try to watch this a little bit and live a life where you are healthy and not so exhausted. Don't deplete your physical energies so quickly. No one can do that. It doesn't work. We are limited. We are not like Srila Prabhupada, so who sleeps 2 hours. And our bodies are not. We are not. I'm not on that level. So except for rare devotees, there are a few devotees who are very amazing, and so on. Good, but that could be a reason why you're dull. The senses can't work any longer properly. The mind can't work any longer. It could be, and you might overcome the dullness. Dullness cannot always be overcome by resting, by the way. That you need to rest enough, but not too much, because then you get in tamagun and you become more dull. But walking, doing a little, walks are very good, swimming, just something to get some energy into the body. Best is dancing. You will be surprised to hear, don't just dance here. Prabhupada said, alone we can also dance. I found a quote like this. I mean, I do this, but I do it when no one looks, because you will be considered crazy when you dance alone. You know, but something to get some energy in there. It's better than Tai Chi or yoga. Dancing and singing the holy name. Why not? Why not? Daksha, Budi, Slobodan. You know, in Europe, we can do. No problem. We are not ordinary people, at least. 99% of the world thinks we are not ordinary people. But the spiritual advice, Bhakti Granta, is more important. Association with good devotees. This always works. Ramanujacharya, I'm quoting from a different sampradaya now, he's also Vaishnava Acharya. He says, there's a verse by him, when no other thing, sadhana works, have association with devotees, it always works. Then the Bhakti Ratnaka gives us, and because you're Bhakti Granta, I will say something from some Bhakti works now. Bhakti Ratnaka is what our Gaudiya tradition says. Bhakti will increase in the heart when you share it with someone else. In other words, the dullness which you experience will go away when you share. Actually, no, the verse is like this. Bhakti can only be assessed means grasped, gotten by a devotee when he shares it with someone else. Amazing quotation. Have we not seen when you preach Bhakti Granta, your old book distributor, when you distribute a book, how much you are happy? Bhakti Granta. Some say I am a happy devotee and smile a lot. Some say, I always say, you have not seen Bhakti Granta. He is the real one. I am the reflection of Bhakti Granta. When you joined, boom, you were smiling 24 hours a day. Even in your sleep, I think he smiled. Isn't it? You were in the same Brahmacharya ashram. So happy. Because sharing Krishna, you were Buddhist devotee at that time. I remember you had the blue cap always in. East Holy Day, East Holy Day, East Holy Day. When you share Krishna consciousness with others, it somehow increases in you. That's why I always say, because my lectures are not very good, I'm aware of that. So I'm saying, if no one benefits from what Sachinanda Swami does, if one person benefits, it's me. Because when you speak about Krishna consciousness, it raises in you, it is working like this. Even young devotees, new devotees, do something to spread Krishna consciousness. Even if you cannot talk, give the books, Prabhupada is the best presenter of Krishna consciousness. That will always work. You will see. Mark my words. No, Maharaj, it will not work. I'm too afraid to do this. Try it anyways. You will see it works.
Yes. I wanted to ask about chanting Maha Mantra, because these few days I got some information from Urmila Mataji who read out some quotes from Prabhupada, very nice quotes, and there is some controversy in me now what to do. One of the things was that she mentioned imagining. But I always did still know just hearing the name of Krishna. So maybe you can a little bit explain what should be the Lord, give some advice.
The quotation, I was there in the lecture, and I know this quote from Srila Prabhupada. And he said, this was in Geneva, that chanting Hare Krishna means to associate with Krishna. And then he said, in your heart, you put a throne, and you invite Krishna to sit down, and you can imagine this. It is not false, it is real. That was is a direct quote. It was that is one part of Srila Prabhupada's teaching which relates to meditation. It is there in our tradition, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, it's called. No? Now, I'm aware that, and I'm very grateful to you that you brought such a thought-provoking subject. I'm aware that our tradition concentrates very much on Shravana and Kirtanam as the essential practices in Kali, hearing and Shravana and Kirtanam, doing Kirtan, chanting. Prabhupada's quotations on meditation is not as frequent as his when he speaks about Shravanam and Kirtanam, and most probably you have heard from the preachers more about Shravanam and Kirtanam than you have heard about Smaranam, because Srila Prabhupada has made this emphasis. There is one rule in Krishna consciousness. It is very important that you listen to this, that you must always engage in the practices according to your, it's called adhikar. That is your qualification. It means qualification is almost like a value judgment. A qualification means I'm highly qualified or not qualified. The Sanskrit word adhikar means a little bit more. It means that what is, I will say it now in simple, in the simplest term, what is your thing, so to say, where you are able to perform nicely. You must engage according to, in the beginning, according to your nature, what you can do. So some of us, the majority of us are really best for Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. Mahaprabhu decided he would spread Krishna consciousness not so much through philosophy and reflecting, but to just chant Hare Krishna, Mahas Kirtan, offering prasadam. Because the adhika of the people are mostly on that level. As a devotee, you also have certain adhikas. You are able to do things and they are very, and you should stick with that. If you feel meditation is not for you, then stick with Shravanam and Kirtanam. And that will be also meditation, but not so much like the mental, the using of the mind. The using of the mind in Shravanam and Kirtanam is mostly to be attentive, and therefore, because you don't do it mindlessness, it can be called a form of meditation. It's the mantra meditation, to be correct. You're not without meditation when you chant Hare Krishna, because you need to bring the mind to it,
the manas, you know, and bring that. In Smaranam, it's mostly the mind which is active. Hmm? But in Kali Yuga, you are right, for most of the people, Shravanam and Kirtanam is there. But let us not do the mistake which is sometimes done by thinkers who are not caring to study all of Prabhupada's teachings. You can't also amputate meditation, which is there. There are many quotes. Omara has shared many with us, and she said there are endlessly more. You can get a file if you want from her. And if you feel drawn at one stage in your spiritual life, then you can practice according to Prabhupada's direction. Like, I see, when Prabhupada was in Geneva and introduced this, like, you can think of Krishna in your heart, you can receive him in your heart, it was so new to our movement. It went all over. What? Prabhupada said this? Ooh! And some of us came from transcendental meditation. Some meditation movement, and we thought, wow, here. But this doesn't mean that it's so okay. There are many quotes, but anything done, Jiva Goswami makes this very clear, must be done on the basis of the chanting, because this is such an essential question. I would like to offer an example and then stop. I don't know, I heard in one lecture this example, that a devotee needs to follow what he is good at. I, for instance, must tell you very honestly, I'm not very good in deity worship, means addressing deities and so on. I'm somehow an impractical man. It takes very long to even put, you know, the skirt around and then find the right, you know, I just don't have the hands for this, apparently, and not the intelligence, or my hands don't move in a coordinated, I don't know, I'm very bad in this, so I will not do that service so much. Artics I can do, I will do, but I will not be a pujari. I'm more a preacher type of person. Prabhupada told me this personally. I'm more that. So I will do that. So in all aspects of spiritual life, we will find that we are naturally drawn to some way, and we should follow that. We should follow that inner compass. And the example I heard was the example of the wild goose. Do you know what is a wild goose? The deeply guska lives in Scandinavia, and when winter comes to Scandinavia, means Sweden, Norway, Denmark, the deeply guska understands this will be too cold, I will die. He understands by intuition, and then he knows inside, let me go, let me get out of here. And he flies a long way to Africa, where there are good lakes, where the deeply guska can eat and drink, and so on. And he follows, during this time, an inner compass. And he knows where to land. Like, I know where we live, our ashram in Berlin, there is a big landing place for deeply goskas. They are the whole. You hear them? They're so full with deeply goskas. They are on their way. They are tourists on their way to Africa. They stop there. How do they know how to fly? How do they know where to land? How do they know the interesting vegetarian menus which are available in Germany and France and wherever they fly? They know it by the Paramatma, the Lord in the heart. So in spiritual life, you all, you should not forget, the Lord is very close, He's in the heart. And if you purify your heart by hearing and chanting, you will feel how He gives you directions. There are verses in the Gita, I dwelling in their hearts, with a torch, it's the, what is it, with the burning torchlight of knowledge, reveal what is to be known. It is there. We have a very deep philosophy. It needs to be studied. Our philosophy does not end with chant Hare Krishna. And our philosophy ends with chant Hare Krishna. Our philosophy does not end with the statement chant Hare Krishna, and our philosophy ends with the statement chant Hare Krishna. And to figure it out, you have to ask Govindanandan and Bhatta Setu. They understand. I can see from your nodding of that. And to make it simple, chanting is everything. Hare Krishna. But there are many informations. Dobro! I thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful summer camp part 2 now. Now it's time to practice. To think about what you have heard and to apply it. Thank you very much and see you next year if possible. Oh, wait one moment. Our Madhva Muni.